Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Man's Voice on this Sunday afternoon, October 15th, 6 p.m. here across the nation somewhere, 3 o'clock in some states, 4 and 6. But we want to welcome all the panelists back because we weren't here last week and a lot has been going on. And today's show should be very interesting in that as we get into the show, we have an author for a book on self-love, and so we'll get with him later in the show. But I want to start the show this week off with John, because last week I didn't do the show, and John sent out an email saying he had a lot to talk about. And one of them was that he wanted to talk about the Democrat who killed the Trump followers in Vegas. I guess the question is, John, how did you know that he was a Democrat and all the people at the concert were Trump followers?
That was a week ago when I posted that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we did find out that he was a registered Democrat voter. That's been in the news. I mean, come on, how many country western fans do you know? I mean, I'm watching NASCAR right now, and I don't think there's too many Democrats in the crowd here in Talladega. So, you know, it was a country western crowd in Vegas. It wasn't an Eminem concert. So, you know, you got to say probably what 98% of those the people that were there were had to be Trump followers, I'd have to believe.
So we talked several times about gun control, and it seems that that conversation goes nowhere, and it. One of the things I did notice was when this happened in Las Vegas, gun control didn't come up a lot. They talked about this attachment he had to his rifles and shotguns, but there was no control talk about it. I don't know why. Are we at the end of even worrying about gun control that nobody wants to talk about anymore? What do you think there, John?
Well, the problem is if someone could please tell me how you're going to take the guns out of the criminal's hands and the bad guy's hands, you know, he was able to buy them legally. How do you decide, or how are you going to be able to determine, who's going to be able to have them? And right now, you know, the main concern for me and the reason I carry every day is because, you know, you got a ton of illegal guns out there. And until someone can explain to me how you're going to get them out of the gang's hands, out of the criminal element's hands, then all you're doing is basically telling me that I have no right to have them myself. Because, you know, to protect myself from these people, and obviously from Las Vegas, the police aren't going to be able to protect you when you're in an outdoor stadium and you've got high-rise buildings around. And, you know, one of the things that's always concerned me is it's not even the guns, but, you know, you hear of, RPGs and things like that. I mean, that's coming. That's going to be next. I mean, they're not even going to have to get that close where they're going to be able to, you know, do some type of attack like that. Until there's a way, I mean, you know, you've got all of these people. They said there was 30,000 people there. All the exits were blocked. They were all funneled in inside, you know, walls and stuff like that. And I understand why. I mean, you've got a lot of people that, you know, would have liked to have gotten in. It was probably at capacity. There was probably a lot of people wanting to get in and didn't want to pay the tickets, you know, the prices for it. So you've got to separate, you know, the people that are going to be there who have paid, you know, really paid for their tickets, who want to be there, and keep the riffraff out. But, you know, to then have it where they're funneled in. And I mean, you don't have to be a very good marksman to be sitting there and fire off the amount of rounds he did to, you know, to hit 50 people. kill 50 people. You injured, 400. And for people to say that these guns are illegal, unfortunately they're not. And, they are readily available. And, you got to have money to have them. And that's one thing. I mean, I think the last one I looked at, you're looking at $25,000, for a full auto, M16 machine gun. But going through the proper channels, you can have one of those. So, but I've seen a lot of stuff on the news here and TV where, they come up with this bump stock and everything else, and they're showing grenade launchers, and they're showing, the ARs and everything else. And NBC didn't even have, or CNN didn't even have the correct gun that they were describing on there. So there's so much misinformation out there. But it all goes back to, if you can't get the guns out of the bad people's hands, then why would you want to take it away from someone like me who wants to protect their family legally? Because obviously the cops aren't going to be around every day.
Right. John, I have a question. I have a question to ask John.
Sure.
John, you seem like a real knowledgeable guy, and I want to ask you a question. First of all, I'd like to say that America is being held hostage by the lobbyists and the NRA. And that's,
I don't agree with
made.
That. I mean, the NRA, where does the NRA go off? All right,
I
thought you were done. Go ahead.
Thank you. No, I'm not done. Let me finish, sir. America's held hostage by the lobbyists and the NRA. They make the laws when it comes to guns, and it's based upon money being funneled to politicians. We should have had a topic about how do we stop the killings in America. Now, I began that statement by saying you're a very knowledgeable guy. What would you do to stop the killing in America with the guns?
You can't. How are you going to? You're also not going to kill stop the killings of innocent people in cars by drunk drivers. You're not going to talk about guns, John.
Why does it always have to be about guns? Don't spin it. Let's talk about guns.
NRA? And I'll tell you right now, I'm not an NRA member. And I legally own guns. I carry them. I said, but where anywhere does it in the NRA manifest or whatever their mission statement, does it say we're going to arm the criminals so they can go out and kill people? The NRA stands for, as far as I can tell, they stand for the law-abiding citizen. And by the way, how many of these people that are doing all of these mass killings with these guns are NRA members? Zero. So when you talk about, the NRA is doing all – the NRA is – what they're doing right now is they realize that there are so many illegal guns in this country, and I'll be interested to see if any of these guns in Las Vegas actually end up showing up from Obama's botched Fast and Furious on the border. Wouldn't that be interesting?
You're very good.
Now, what would the NRA have to do with that?
What does Obama have to do with guns?
Fast and Furious.
Can I interject for statistics?
The first attorney general who ever got censored by Congress and retired because he wouldn't bring out all the information regarding to the botched Fast and Furious, where one of our border agents got killed by Obama's gun running to Mexico.
Good job of spinning my question, John. Good
Can
job.
I
told you. You're telling me that the NRA is, they're the ones doing all of these laws. I don't see the NRA passing or going for any of these laws where illegal people can have them.
All right. I think Frank's trying to get in. Frank, you want to say something? Look, Frank. Huh. Well, I know he's traveling, so I don't know if he's there. What about you, Jeremiah? What do you think about the guns and the United States and how we're going to control them, if anything? Is anybody listening? Oh, I see Frank.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a powerful question, David.
Yeah. Bruce, where are you from?
Can I jump in and add a little there, guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
Don, I agree with your passion. John, I agree with your, unfortunately, the reality. You're not going to the way guns have been woven into the fabric of our country, you're never going to disarm the honest gun-owning people. So, two of you, and I've thought about this before, it always seems to be on both sides, all or nothing. We're never going to get all or nothing. The people that don't want guns want none of them, and the people that have guns say you're not taking them all. So we need to find a way intelligently to sit down with both sides, both factions, and say, all right, what can we do best to limit the kinds of guns that shouldn't be on the street? I mean, you're right. In some ways, you can't keep them out of the bad element that want them. But what do we do to make things as difficult as possible to not be acquired? That's really all we can do. We can't regulate our way out of a gun problem, and we can't stop the bad guys if they want them bad enough. So, you know, between trying to regulate the best we can and diminish the supply in some way, you know, that's at least a positive move towards regulating guns. The fear that a lot of people have, Don, that own guns, I think, are that you're either going to want me to serialize all of them so you'll know what I have or whatever, or you're going to eventually take them all away from me. Well, they have a valid point, too. They're responsible people. They're never going to hurt anybody with them. But I also agree with you, Don, that, you know, what do we do to make it better? But you don't hear about that. All you hear is take them all away or don't take any of them away. And that neither one of those are the right answer.
And also the thing is, you just don't need a gun that can shoot multiple times that you use in war, and then you don't need that many guns. That gentleman in Las Vegas had an army, a plethora of guns.
I agree with you. That's part of the – and most really good, responsible gun owners will probably agree with the people that want no guns more than you would think. I agree with you that we don't need to have machine guns as a normal savoir faire. I agree, and I think John would too. But I
absolutely
don't want you to turn around and tell me if I wanted one, you can't own anything because I said so. That's not going to apply either. You know it's not.
But see,
and the first time somebody shows up at your house with a machine gun,
we can't even have that kind of conversation because, like
before, we're not now. You're right, and we need to have that conversation. You're right.
We need to have that kind of conversation, but we can't because of the lobbyists and the NRA, because they bought the politicians off. They contributed large sums of money, and that's the issue.
But If I agree with you for a moment about that, let me disagree with you on something else. We just saw an experiment, like it or not, that all the politicians and everybody in the world said there's no way an upstart, crazy person, some people call him, some people say a radical person, is ever going to get elected. He did. He didn't get elected because of the legislators and the lobbyists. He got elected by the people. So one way that gives me heart that you and I, Don, John, you, Jeremy, everybody, Jeremiah, that if we got smart about this and lobbied ourselves or talked to our congressman the right way, we could make a change. We're just as guilty as the legislators, and we don't pool together. We got the biggest stick in the neighborhood if we did, and we could say, you know what? We don't want this kind of gun around anymore. Get rid of it. We don't want this. We don't want that. To be responsible. And they would have to listen because we got a bigger stick than they do. But we don't do that. We don't talk together about it. We don't get together on it.
Okay, let me jump in. If Frank wanted to say something, I know his phone. He was having a problem.
I wanted to give some statistics about John's opening salvo, which is about the country and Western thing. A 2004 Gallup survey found nearly 60% of the country fans identified more strongly with Republicans, compared with 11% who identify as liberal and around 30% who say they are political moderates. So I wanted to pass that out, and that's in contrast that, you know, let me just say this gun issue that you're talking about. Australia did away with guns, and they've been very successful not having mass murders like we have on a routine basis in the United States. Every day there's a mass murder. Four more people are getting killed at the same time in this particular country that we live in. I'm not for taking away your guns because, you know, like I told you before, I've lived in a rural area. I've hunted. I've lived in Alaska. I'm in the military. But one thing I do know is that you cannot trust the normal average citizen to keep a gun and use it at all times judiciously. So that means that you're going to have a lot of accidents, a lot of kids killing themselves accidentally, a lot of people shooting someone accidentally, and you're going to have some people going crazy because that's what we do in this country. We have a lot of people that go crazy for permanently, temporarily. And these people are all allowed to own guns, and they do have guns, including the bad people, which could be some police officers and could be gang and in fact is gang members as well. So we are a gun culture. I've had people come over from South Africa that have been scared to come to this country to live because they consider this country to be the Wild Wild West, and so do I. I consider it to be the Wild Wild West as well.
Okay. Well, let's bring that to a close. I mean, we have so many other things that happened since we've been talked, but I don't think we're ever going to – I think until we get the right politicians in, will we ever come up with anything that will put something in place that will make it work for the United States on both sides of the table. But I don't think
once
so,
they get some bazookas – once they get some bazookas or some missiles and they fire it at a couple of our buildings, that's when all – stuff is going to break loose at that time.
Right.
Those are illegal.
Yeah, I used to work in a factory where I controlled the mechanism for those devices at General Dynamics. And the reason why I controlled the devices is because if they get in the hands of the bad people, they will be fired. And I suspect that's going to happen. Tank weapons, anti-aircraft weapons, stuff like that, they're shoulder held. I expect that's going to be on the horizon.
Oh, exactly, and that's what I said first off. You're going to have RPGs where they're not even going to have to get close to these things. But the problem is, you know, we're at the point now, though, you just said those are illegal military-grade weapons, and the only way what you were doing was keeping them out of the hands of the bad people. And that's what you're going to have to do with these other types of guns. But who can you determine as a bad guy who's had these guns for I don't know how many years and all of a sudden one day decides to snap?
Well, that's the whole point. That's why you shouldn't have the amount of guns that we have out on the streets. That's why you shouldn't have. We have a gun for more than one gun for every person that's alive in our country right now. That's too many guns. I mean, hey, look, I'm all for hunters. I'm all for people that want to protect themselves from the federal government. You know, there are reasons to have guns, but there are a whole lot of guns that have no reason to be in existence.
All right.
I agree, but now you can take the same argument and get rid of guns and insert opioids and drugs. How do you keep those out of the bad people's hands?
I didn't say get rid of guns. You know, I said it a couple times, not to get rid of guns, but you certainly
No, you said
so
the bad people can't get them.
I didn't even say that.
John, what does opioids have to do with guns?
Well, right now in Michigan, it's the biggest killer in Michigan.
We're not talking about
Well, that's
that
because
yet.
We've got a drug-addicted society. We know we have a drug-addicted society because doctors have been prescribing opioids. They give out, you know, they give out this drug pretty freely at hospitals. I just went to see my brother in Las Vegas during the same shooting time. In fact, I'm out on the West Coast right now. It is 3 o'clock West Coast time. And, hey, morphine is like, you know, you just open the faucet and you give an individual some. So that's what we've got people that are addicted to this stuff, and that's because they've been prescribed by doctors.
Right. Well, and you've got right here in Oakland County, they prescribe enough opioids that every person in the state of Michigan could have a prescription for 90 of them. Who's the one that's pushing this stuff? Well, it's the prescription drug lobbyist. So there you go again. You know,
All right. Got a long show, a lot to talk about because we haven't been here for a while. So I want to bring that to a close, but I want to open up another door. We can talk about so many things going on. The big thing is the Harvey Weinstein piece, but I really, you know, we've got so many of these recently, Hollywood and, you know, that's going on. I think we really don't need to talk about that much. We all know what's going on. It's been going on forever. But when you find somebody that, you know, Hollywood doesn't like, they put them out there under the bus. But what I want to talk about was the Boy Scouts, who are now accepting girls in the Cub Scouts, which was all young boys. It was Boy Scouts by grade, not by age. So Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts were, I think, first grade through sixth grade, I think it was. And now they're accepting girls. Do you think that's a good thing? Jeremiah, are you there? It's number, but it's hearing. What about you, Don? What do you think?
David, I don't think that girls should be able to join the Boy Scouts. I can't believe that topic would even come up. Let a man be a woman. Let a man be a woman and let a boy be a woman. Come on. I mean, come on. Boy Scouts are for just what it says, Boy Scouts. Girl Scouts are for Girl Scouts. Why would you want to mix the two? I mean, I can't believe that we would even entertain the thought.
Why not? We got them participating, the guys playing on women's teams in the Olympics and stuff.
Well, in my opinion, the boys and girls don't even go outside and talk to each other, and then you finally get a way to have some camaraderie and learn boy things, and now you're mixing it up. What do you think? Go ahead, Frank.
Let me give my 5 cents. Hey, look, you know, Saudi Arabia just allowed women to drive a car, right? This is the same thing you're talking about. Joining the Boy Scouts is equivalent to driving an automobile. We have women who are in the armed forces of the United States of America. They're not in the female part of the armed forces. They're in the armed forces. The armed forces did away with the female parts of the armed forces, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 years ago. All right? So this is a new age, and women are just as equal as men. They're the same as men. The way this deal is being carried, if you talk to a woman, a New Day woman, you'll find out that there's no difference between a man or a female, per that woman telling you that, okay? So guess
what?
Well,
except what the Democrats pay them.
Oh, wait a minute. We should say
join the Scouts, not just the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts.
Well, that's the name of it. The name of it should change. Actually, that's actually correct. Yeah, the name of it should be Boy Scouts.
Right. But guys, convince me of something, because I'm not convinced. Why can't we have certain quality organizations that are boy, guy organizations and girl, women organizations? What is wrong?
There's no such
with
thing.
That?
You can't have separate but equal. You cannot have separate but equal facilities in the United States of America. We tried that years ago and it doesn't work. There's no such thing in our country as separate but equal.
Why does it have to be separate and equal? They're different. I agree with Don. Why can't guys have an organization, girls have an organization? You might learn things in a different perspective. You know, guys and gals don't always congregate together for dinner or to have conversations. Girls get together, guys get together. I mean, is that going to be illegal? No, it's not going to be illegal. So what is the big yank about having separate organizations for positive reason? I don't understand why that's so bad.
Well,
help me.
Help me.
Yeah, help me.
Let me try Jeremiah. Are you there, Jeremiah? I got a message from him saying he's having issues.
Yeah, I'm here. I just don't
hey, guys, this is not Saudi Arabia.
I don't like the integration with children. You know, as an adult, you can make your own decisions whether or not you want to go into the Army as a MP or a yeoman or whatever you want to call it. But I just think that children shouldn't be put in that predicament to choose or understand the difference between Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, when it should be only boys, which allow girls to be in a Boy Scout, but it just develops a mindset in a different way for young kids. I don't think they should be in that predicament.
Okay. All right. Well, I think they've already done it. And there are Girl Scouts. So what happens to the Girl Scouts of America? Do they go away now?
You're going to have some boys in the Girl Scouts now.
Well, they say the Girl Scout organization got blindsided by this. They didn't even know it was going to happen. I find that kind of hard to believe, but that's what I've heard.
Well, there goes the good cookies if
everything
guys start baking
them.
They better not get rid of those cookies, that's for sure.
Yeah, when a dude start cooking the cookies, that's it, man.
Boy Scouts.
Well, the Boy Scouts
gonna start cooking donuts. They're gonna offer donuts now, guys.
Yeah, that's it.
Ooh, wow.
Okay. Oh, David's for that. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. No, I was thinking about. Never mind. Okay, so I want to keep moving on. One more topic, and then we're going to bring in a guest that we have the show. But this topic, you know, when Kaepernick kneeled, you know, and he started, you know, a worldwide, you know, everybody talking about it, everybody has an opinion about it, but Mike Ditka made me realize why we needed this conversation to happen. Mike Ditka said, there has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. And I'm thinking, say what? What? And so now I understand why. I understood before, but it kind of made it solid to me that somebody would even think that in the United States of America, there has been no oppression of any type for anybody. And I would think few people would think like that. But if he says that, that makes me think there's a lot more people than I know of who think like that. What do you think? What do you think about that conversation, that statement that he made? Bruce, are you there?
Oh, I didn't hear you say my name. There's parts of Mr. Ditka I admire, but that statement isn't one of them. What does he mean there hasn't been any suppression in the United States? Is he nuts?
That's what I'm saying. Well, where has he been? I mean, is it that the
he
world?
Hasn't
yeah,
been
where's
in
he
the
been?
United
under
States.
A rock? What? I don't understand.
Is it that the wealthy don't know what's going on in the real world? What do you think?
He's been
what
in.
Do you think? John?
I've only been here for 52 years, so I can't speak for the other 48. But, no, I don't agree with what he's saying.
Okay. So what, if you don't agree with what he's saying, do you agree that the conversation should happen and the fact that Kaepernick did the deal, which started opening that door for people to have these conversations, do you still think that's wrong?
I think it was wrong how he did it. There's more other ways that, you know, he could have done it, not to offend 50% of the country.
How?
You know,
how?
He could
have name one.
Well, he could have done it during a press conference after the game. He could have done it after scoring a touchdown in the end zone. I mean, there's other ways that you can express yourself except during the national anthem, you know. And you obviously it's really ticked off a lot of people because the ratings are down, the stadiums are half full, and you know, so obviously, and remember, I don't know if any of you read the article about the place, I think it was down south someplace, where after Ford decided that they were going to back the NFL kneeling, a local police department basically canceled an order for $750,000 worth of new Ford police cars. So, you know, there was other ways he could have done it. Press conferences after the game, press conferences, end zone celebrations, pregame warm-ups, you know, wear something, do something. But, you know, you don't do it, you know, during the national anthem. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And unfortunately, it looks like it rubbed the people who are spending the money on the tickets and the merchandise.
But
so,
let me ask you Do you think the stadiums are half full because they're protesting Kaepernick, or do you think they're half full because they're protesting that he doesn't have a job, so we're not going to even see the games anymore?
Nah, the protests weren't this bad last year. This most of these protests now have happened since the since Trump brought it up.
Hey, this is Frank. Let me just interject for a couple things. I just looked at the Panther Stadium because my son went to the Panther game last weekend. Panther Stadium in Charlotte was full with Philadelphia game. So it isn't true that stadiums are being half full. All right. And there are people I'm a boycotter of the game. That's why I would have only known that by looking at the stadium. I did look at that stadium for that purpose. It was completely full in Charlotte. So there are people that are boycotting the game like me, and there are people that are boycotting the game because of the issue about the flag. I support the NFL players who want to protest in that manner because I think the subject matter that they're protesting about is more important than the game itself. And I also think that it's going to be a warfare between the owners and the players if the owners, like Jerry Jones, tries to enforce or retain or maintain his rhetoric that he said in regard to the protesting during the national anthem. So I think the players are more going to prove whether they are part of the plantation system, and Jerry Jones being the plantation owner. And I think they have enough freedom as far as the unions are concerned. Both the owners and the player unions are tough birds. And I don't think that the players are going to stand for being under the thumbs of the owners. So that's what I'm looking to see how that all comes about.
Well, the
you're
owners
right,
are paying their paychecks.
Right.
The owners made a millionaire.
Frank. Hey, Frank, you're absolutely right.
Hey, just because
right,
you're paying your paycheck, just because you're paying your paycheck, you don't give up your rights. You don't
exactly.
give up your right to a gun.
I'll tell you what.
You don't give up
what
your right to a gun.
What happened to the
gun.
Vice president
right
from CBS?
You
know,
no,
what happened to the vice president
right.
of CBS where she got fired?
No, that person
Everybody's
right there, that person right there made a comment on the news thing, and she has the right to sue CBS if she wants to do that. That's where the proof is in the pudding, is if you sue them, and that's what the players. She hasn't done that, but I'm just going to tell you that she has the right to do that. There are similar situations that happen every day where a person's rights begin and where they end. And that's really for a court to decide where they begin and where they end when there is controversy and a dispute right there. She doesn't have a dispute with CBS, but the players may very well have a dispute with Jerry Jones and may very well have a dispute with the citizens of the United States of America.
Hey, let's look at the root cause of this thing. Kaepernick did that because of the killing of black young men he wanted to protest. The president of the United States wanted to spin it. It was not even about the flag. It was about a protest. And he wanted to make sure that he could have a voice in the NFL as an owner because he failed miserably as an owner of a team. And he diverted the topics of conversation worldwide that we need to be talking about more so than football. And he changed the subject and flipped it. He's the master at flipping it.
All right. I think that is a subject that we need to talk about. But I want to right now change the subject just a little bit because I want to go to our guest. We have a guest on the line who's actually an author and writer. He's coming on with his own radio TV show, and he will be talking a lot about this one subject. And I think a lot of men need to hear what he's going to say. His name is Wynn Tompkins. He's a author. He's also a musician, and he does a lot of guest speaking around the country. Like I said, he's going to have his own radio show, and he's going to talk about this subject. But this subject is all about self-love and taking care of yourself. And most men nowadays really don't know how to do that, or they don't even think about it, because in today's time, it's not something that is taught or something. He's talking about how to care for yourself. I want to quote something he wrote in one of his publications. It says, he's not promoting narcissism or having an attitude of arrogance, self-absorption, selfishness, boastfulness, or bragging cockiness or a swelled head. He's promoting the act of having a healthy inward love of oneself that will eventually be transmitted to others. And I think as men, a lot of us don't think about that. But Mr. Tompkins, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
We're good, sir. So tell us a little bit about this, and what exactly are you telling us here?
Okay, the first start off, I was listening at your whole program today, and I just want to approach everything from a different angle here, if you guys would just listen for a second here.
Okay.
When we look at our world today, there's so many things going on. We talked about the issue with the flag and Kaepernick. We talked about the shooting in Las Vegas, and just about anything you can look at the way the world is now. My thing is, you know, if we would just stop for a minute and say the way we're going, the way man is going, and the way man has been thinking for eons, isn't it time to renew our mind and think a different way? Some people say, well, the way you're talking about, you know, I don't think that had never happened. The first thing I ask is, well, how is it going for us now? So, you know, we got to stop for a minute. And as I see the way, the condition of the world, a lot of this stuff, if you go back to the real root of everything, if every man knew himself, loved himself, respect himself, he would pass that on to the next man. And we would have a better world, because all the stuff that's happening now is based in fear, it's based in disrespect, it's based in not loving yourself and not loving others. So if everybody would get back to that one law, others as you would have them to do unto you, that's the problem solved. But a lot of people don't want to face, to go, it's almost like going back in time. But if we keep going the way that we're going, if you notice, it's getting worse. Worse. It has nothing to do with the Republicans, has nothing to do with Democrats, to do with none of that. Everybody has been duped with this false identity of separation and not knowing that everything is connected. Until we get back to that, to a mentality of united, like we say United States right now, I don't see it being united. I'm 59 years old since I've been born. I haven't seen the unitedness. We get to understand that unity is, no matter what color, what race, what religion, we all want peace, love, happiness. We all want to be secure. We all looking for the same thing, but we all going about it the wrong way. And if I always use this analogy, if I had a room of 10 kids, and I raised them myself, they're not going to grow up hating each other. We are taught hate. We're taught separation. We're taught the wrong identities. It's time for man to get back to his true self. And once he know his true self, he will learn to respect his true self. He will eradicate fear, and he will eradicate fear, and he will begin to respect others. That is the way the law works. People don't want to hear that. But that's the way it works. So if they don't want to hear that, all I ask is, how is it going? Tell me how it's going. I don't see the unity. Are you listening?
Yes. One of the things you say is, remember, you are the prize. You're releasing you to you. And you're it, and it is you. You're one in being. How do we begin to go about this? It sounds good, but how do you bring it to fruition?
Okay. Wait, that is brought to fruition. First of all, you got to realize this. When I say that you are the prize, each man is the prize. see, we're looking, man has been looking for all these outward things. How can we solve this? How can we solve that? Until you solve the inward works inwardly, outwardly. You can't solve the outwardly and the inwardly remains the same. So the prize is, once you begin to realize what every man is seeking, his secret is what he's seeking with. Did you get that?
No, can you expound on that a little bit?
Say it again. What you're seeking for is what you're seeking with. So that means you got to turn inwardly. A lot of people don't understand what that means to turn inwardly. Every man has been born with an inward mental and spiritual body. Right now has the wrong identity. Some people have identity of drug addict. Some people say, I'm this, I'm that. Right now people identify with different parties. Let me tell you something. All that stuff is foolishness. Until we understand our true identity and we teach our kids true identity, they respect themselves, love themselves, and realize they are the prize. When you realize you are the prize, you realize your brother is the prize too. What he has is for him, and what he has is for you. So you understand that's where the unity and the oneness come in. There would be no need for war. There would be no need for guns and all this stuff. People say, well, you know, we'll never get rid of the guns. Okay, keep on going. Now one day they're going to have bazookas. Next thing you know, somebody's going to be rolling down the road with a tank. It getting worse, worse, worse. How is it going for you? So when you realize that other prize, and you begin to understand that you no longer operate out of your false self nature, you become new identity, right? Because you're remembering who you are and why you are here.
You know, it all sounds very good. And I want to open up to Pounds. Bruce, what do you think about what Mr. Tompkins is saying?
Well, a lot of what he says is true. But the puzzle that we have to figure out is how do we turn ourselves either back around or another direction, whatever terminology you want to use, to get us to be confident in ourselves. And there's a difference between confidence and cockiness, and we all know what the difference is. And then, as he said, if you see the value in yourself, you can look for and hopefully find in a lot of people. There's truly mean people in the world, and there's many more that aren't truly mean. You almost have to go prospecting to find. If you're looking across from someone and you have an argument with them, or you just don't agree on something, you start to investigate. What can I do to either get to know this person better and understand him or her better? So that if we're not going to be friends, we can at least respect each other's opinion and do constructive criticism, not attack, and solve problems. We have become void of that on Capitol Hill and void of that in our own social groups. As he said, we immediately take sides, and then our guards are up. We don't talk to each other, and we've talked about that before. Communication is one of the main life sources of all this happening.
All right. Don, what do you think?
Yes, David, I like what has been said, including what you said, Bruce, about the communication end of it. You know, I've said many times, we cannot legislate the heart of man. America has a heart problem. We cannot legislate it and expect it to perform right. My greatest mentor is Jesus Christ, and he said something so powerful that just has resonated in my life. I remember when the disciples tried to trick him up with some of the issues that we're facing in America today. And they said, hey, Jesus, which one of these 10 commandments are the greatest? You got 10 of them. Which one's the best? He said, love your God with all your mind, heart, and soul. And then number two, love your neighbor or your friend as yourself. When you've done those two, you've done all 10 of them. When you get to that level of understanding, we could make this world a better place on just those two issues and those two commandments. America has a heart problem.
Okay, so Mr. Tompkins, if I had a group of young men, say I went down to the prison and I was doing a seminar or something, and I would say most of those men probably would need this conversation more than anybody. So, but what? How do I get that message across? Because first of all, I think a young man listening to you would say, "Yeah, that sounds well, but I already love myself." But is there a special way you should care for yourself more to learn this process? I mean, I don't understand how we, unless it's taught from baby on, how do you begin to somebody who's 18 years old to try to tell them to love themselves when you know they're not really doing it?
Well, first of all, one of the key elements to this is it's not really how do we get it or how. It's a matter of, it's not a matter of getting it. You already possess it. You're it, and you will become to know it when your thoughts and feelings are moving to alignment with it. By seeing the error of your ways, the results of your thinking, then the recognition and higher. By affirming your God-given rights to praiseworthiness of your true self, you move from the prodigal sense of sonship that is the wasteful and reckless of rich inheritance given by the source and become awakened to your spiritual senses, your true self, your true sonship, greatness, and ownership, and realize that things are much better at the Father's house. Now, already in you, you just got to be awakened to it. It's not something you can just sit and tell somebody in 5 to 10 minutes. First of all, men come examples. If I've got kids in my home and they see me always talking about other races, you know, I may not be telling them to go out and do it, but they sit and watch. If they see me low-grade women, if they see me do all kind of other era stuff, that same seed that I'm planting into them, they're going to grow up with that same identity. They think it's okay. Treat women any kind of way. So we got to treat our women better. We got to treat our kids better. We got to evolve. In order to do that, we got to treat ourselves better. Once we respect ourselves, children will pick that up. We got to start with the youth. Now, we cannot all the time put new wine into old vats. It will burst.
All right. What about you, John? You have any comments on this?
Now, I'm sitting here listening, and the only thing I can think of is, you know, it all sounds great. The only problem is the people that need to hear this aren't going to hear it. That's the issue. You know, we know it. You know, our families know it. But the people causing the problems, they're not getting it.
And that's one of my points. How do we get that message to those people, Mr. Tompkins?
Okay, I'm going to tell you the first step. That says that we know it. The most powerful thing there is silent meditation and prayer. You get more things done abiding in your true self, in the light, than you out talking and talking and trying to do this. See, everybody's trying to do everything physical. So the warfare that we're fighting against, it's not carnal, it's spiritual. We need to get together and do our spiritual work first. Those that are called by the universe or by name, if they will what? Humble themselves, come together and pray, not out praying as the Pharisees did, but praying what inwardly where the powerhouse is. We don't even have to open our mouth. All we have to do is come together in unity first. You got one over here that knows it. You got one over here that knows it. You got to pull together and come together in unity first with these secret prayers, and then we will be rewarded openly. We either believe it or we don't. there's two or three are gathered, this power is in the midst. Two or three as agreeing upon this situation. There is the power in the mix. You can run around all day tomorrow. I'm doing this. I'm going to go out and fight this. All that is carnal. All that is physical. The scripture says that the heavens rule.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so this is Frank.
Yes.
This is Frank. I understand the overall concept. I can't buy in to it, the last portion of it. And I am religious. I don't think that is practical, and I don't think it's workable, and I have never seen it work. And an example of that, the reason why I say that is because almost 400 years, Africans were enslaved in America, and I don't think any getting together with God or any prayer remedied that in 100 years or 50 years. So, you know, that's not going to be sellable to people on the street. Nobody's going to wait 400 years for change to be made again in America or any place else in this world. So, I mean, you can't get people to listen unless you get them to church, because we don't talk about religion in schools and other localities. So, I personally, that's why people have guns. They don't. Their God is in the guns, not in the scriptures.
Okay, let me say, can you hear me?
Yes.
Let me say this. That's why people are dying by the gun. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. I'm not talking religion, my friend. See, that's the difference. I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. I believe in spiritual law. The way you go over this world, jump off a mountain, that spiritual law that it's called gravity, it works. When you got believers that knows how to walk in spiritual law and get together, that's what the power is. We've been saying all this time, you know, go to church. No, I'm not trying to lead nobody to nobody's church. I'm trying to lead people to their inward self. That's where it starts. Now, this whole world has been gone dealing with the outward self. And like I said, when I first come on the phone, how is it going? Tell me it's not getting worse. The president said that he's going to what? What is his main slogan? Make America great again. I don't never remember it being great. For some, it had been great. At least they thought it was great. But if it was great, once you plant a seed, you can't plant an orange seed in the ground and expect to get an apple tree. We've been planting the wrong seeds instead of getting the what? The seeds we've been planting, we're still reaping those same seeds. And what? They're just multiplying. Until we go back and cleanse the ground and put in new seeds, new thoughts, new feelings, new love, all this stuff, it'll never change. Trust me. Go back and look in time and see how it's getting worse, 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 worse.
I guess one
so
of the,
it's not religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not trying to get nobody to go to nobody's church. I was born and raised in church. I'm not in a church. So everybody will look inside. That's where the power lies. People don't want to hear. Well, you know, people they don't want to hear that. That's why we keep going down the same road. People are not listening. Why? The road that leads to destruction, the whole world is going it down. But the road that leads to life, a few find it. I'm talking about leading to life. And once you have life, then you have the crown of life. That's when you make heaven on earth. But as long as we keep going down the same road, well, don't nobody want to listen. Right, those are the ones that lead to destruction. And the way this United States, the way this world is headed now, it's headed for destruction, bro. It's getting worse. Worse, you think the shooting they had then, give it a couple of years, it's going to get worse. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about self-awareness, self-knowing, living by law, you do unto me the way you want to be treated, I do unto you the way you want to be treated, will all work out. That's the law.
All right, sir. Any other panelists want to have a conversation with Mr. Tompkins on this subject? But, Mr. Tompkins, if there's one thing we all should leave here today with from your topic, what should it be?
Let us begin to search within, and we'll be surprised at the things that we will find. Let us begin to scale back those false identities and find our true self, because every man is divine. Whether he do bad things, the reason that he does bad things because he don't know who he is. If he knew who he was, anything else that he does on the outside of that would be out of line with his true self. So it's not a religion.
I'm sorry, but when you say search within, what am I looking for?
When I say search within your own consciousness, your own thoughts. Let your thoughts monitor your thoughts. Let your thoughts monitor whatever thing I do. Am I doing this out of selfish reason, out of greed? What am I motivated by? And when you begin to see your real self, that's when you can really work on yourself. When you get honest with yourself, you know your strengths, you know your weaknesses, you know where you're good, you know where you're bad at. When you begin to know your real self, then you can deal with it. But as long as you say, well, I'm okay, and this and that, and just keep on going down the same path, you can't deal with falseness. You got to get real with yourself. Get real with that divine part of you to really know that you are created in the image and the likeness of the creator of the universe. Why? Because the creator of the universe said that all seeds produces after its own kind. So when the seed of the universe is inside of you, it produces after its own kind. You are in the image of it. Find that true image. Then you can live in love. You can live in peace and harmony, because that's what the true image is, love, peace, and harmony. Why? That's what everybody is searching for. But they're looking on the outside. They're looking for to be in their government. They're looking for to be in their church. They're looking for to be in organizations. You're never going to find it out of there, because all those organizations and government, it's all mixy-uppy. You're not going to find it out there. The only way you're going to find it is within yourself.
You know, this reminds me somewhat of Native American teachings from many, many years ago. We're all one with the world. We're no different than the soil on the ground and the trees. We're all mixed together in one. And then you're saying that man has gotten away from that, and now he needs to research himself and get back to everything is good, everything is one, and we need to all work together as one. I think, is that the message?
The message is, you just hit it on the head. Man is the prodigal son. He needs to find his way back to the father's house. Because at the father's house, the maids and the servants is being treated than he is. At the father's house, the other son was saying, well, why not me? Why this way? His father said, all that the father have is dying. You just never asked for it. We got to return back to the father's house. And the only way we can do that, we got to come to our senses. Because right now, we're all eating swine food.
All right, Mr. Tompkins, I want to thank you for being on our show today. We appreciate you. We're looking for that book that's coming out. And when you get when your show comes up on the radio, make sure you tell us where it is so we can listen and listen to this as it goes further. Because I think it's a great concept. It's just we need to figure out how to make sure that it is taught, especially to our kids and as men, to grasp it. Because I think a lot of us nowadays need to hear more of that, because we're busy thinking everyone else and not ourselves. So, Mr. Tom, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We've got about 90 seconds. Anybody that wants to make $10 million, we got Larry Flint. I think we have about a bunch of these magazines. It's going to pay you $10 million if you can come up with any dirt that will help get Trump impeached. So anybody that needs $10 million...
Larry's not a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
But he has $10 million to give away. That is so crazy.
Pornography.
Yeah.
Satan.
A lot of what our speaker said is true. I think most of us would agree in principle. But in order for us to get back, and I'd like you to start out with that conversation next week, we got to talk about the mechanics of getting us back there, the mechanism to get us back there. there's too many people that aren't going to look inside themselves to find it on their own. We need some real leaders. And guess what? Those leaders are going to be every nationality, every color you can think of that are going to emerge if we really find the real leaders. I want you to start with that next week.
But if you think about it, 10 seconds, if you think about it, all religions, all societies started with that thought in mind. We've just got away from it if you look at history. But anyway, guys, have a nice week. We'll be here again next week, Sunday, 6 o'clock. Guys, please have a great week. Talk next week.
Everybody have a blessed week. Take care, guys.
All right.
Take care.
All right.